"You're a Potter," I say, circling in place to take in all the details.
"I'm a Potter," she replies. "Or was."
She holds up her hands to showcase her crooked arthritic fingers and gives a regretful smile. "The body doesn't always agree with the mind. I still dabble on my good days, but stubborn fingers make for reluctant clay."
"Hmm,"
I hum softly, agreeing and aching for her all at once.
"You've made beautiful things.
And I wouldn't change a thing knowing I can't anymore." She raises her eyebrows at me, like that's supposed to mean something. Like everything else in the eclectic cabin, the room just feels like home. There are mismatched curtains framing windows and colorful blankets draped over chairs. Every detail looks handmade, but not in a half-assed kind of way like a mom who got drunk while scrolling the internet would do. Each item screams careful skill and thoughtful dedication. It's amazingly juxtaposed.
"Beau built this house and surprised me with this space. Designed it all on his own so I'd have somewhere to work with lots of light."
She studies me as I look around. "He's talented," I say flatly.
"You don't like him,"
she replies without heat.
"Something like that."
She gives a small laugh.
"His dad, my son, died in a car crash when Beau was 6. His mom, too young and free to be a mother alone, left him on my doorstep. It's been us ever since."
"I'm sorry to hear that." I let my fingers gently trace circles on the metal top of the potter's wheel. She sighs.
"Oh, well, you know as well as we do about tragedy and how we manage after. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing."
Her severe fuck makes me pause. She laughs.
"Do you have a better way of saying it?"
Her beady earrings swing as she moves, and despite the sadness of what she's just told me, she smiles. Then we're quiet as we stand in the middle of her studio sunroom, and it's as if silence is an important part of our conversation. Like when I'm with Huck, we talk even when we don't. "I met Beau before yesterday. I didn't know he was married." The confession tumbles out of my mouth, clunky and awkward.
"Why did you tell me?"
"I'm not blind," she says, raising her eyebrows.
"I know my grandson is handsome. I just don't know if his good looks are enough to make a woman go mute on my front porch."
She drops her chin until she's looking at me from the top of her eyes. I busy myself by studying a canister of glaze.
"I told you because I wanted to see how you'd react."
My eyes widen and meet hers. I don't need to know her long to not be the least bit surprised at the slight smirk on her lips. If she wasn't 79 and a client, I might consider her a complete bitch. Might even say it. She stares at me, smug, like she knows what I'm thinking before she continues.
"Either way, yes, he's married. Mandy. She's a lot like his mother was."
Her voice trails off, as if there's more to the story. When she doesn't go on, I don't press her. Regardless of how many unanswered questions I have, it doesn't matter. I am the same age as my mother was when she died, and her mother before. My fate is sealed. Men, married or otherwise, have no place in my life.